Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the future capital, perhaps, anyway, of Liberty State, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. Not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. About our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ. About not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And about Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is inside you," or in some translations, "in your midst." I've been asking a lot of people the question about what does the next year hold? We have a lot to be thankful for, mind you. What does the next year hold? What is the plan of the Lord going forward? Where do we need to be in all of that? America is beginning to wake up to the threat, the existential threat to our republic. Now, socialists always have to lie to mask who they are. So, for example, they'll doorbell and they'll say that their conservatives are not going to raise taxes, and then as soon as they get in office, they raise taxes. And I'll talk here a little bit about what that might look like here in the next 2 years. But I believe we're really on the cusp, if not already in the third great awakening. There is an awakening happening, and it's been interesting talking to people about it. It's happening outside the church, in ministries that are going into areas that maybe have been neglected for a while, or gathering people, giving them a purpose outside the four walls of the church, and getting them active. Here's the interesting part about this. The first great awakening, as I understand it, a couple of the circuit riders, Wesley, Whitfield, were actually banned from churches, and they had to hold these tent meetings outside, and that's where that came from. And we're seeing similar things happening right now. Now, that doesn't mean that people shouldn't go to church or anything like that. I don't want anybody to take that the wrong way, but technology is enabling some of this. But also, there is a sense in the heart of a lot of people here in America, here in the future Liberty State, that sitting in the pew on Sunday is not enough, that we need to be living our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. And because we have been absent on the battlefield as Christians, because we have been derelict in our duty as the body of Christ, that a lot of secular institutions have crept in and corrupted not just individuals, but parts of generations. And so the way to reverse that is to get involved in the community. Now, there are people out there who come against the kingdom of Christ, and they rail against it, and because of their own personal hurt and loss. And we still need to have compassion for those folks, but we're supposed to still be bold. We're supposed to go out there and make this happen. And as I've been reading through the scripture recently, the impression upon me was, Paul was, he was operating completely outside the box in his time. It was a secular pagan world at that time. And he was operating outside that box, but still being bold, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I think we need to be. And we need to understand, too, that the very purpose of Marxism, the very purpose of socialism, in the words of Karl Marx himself, in Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, is to abolish eternal truths, abolish morality, abolish religion, abolish national boundaries, abolish private property. And abolish this kind of a sense of a national identity. because this makes people easier to control if they lose their history. And what we are seeing is a great erasing of history, a great covering of history so that people can't access it. And this is a Marxist tactic, and it always has been. You see in South America right now the testing of what could possibly foment chaos, techniques and procedures that could foment chaos in America. Take Chile, for instance. Ostensibly, the riots down there are about mass transit. Now you have downtown Seattle really rebelling against the rest of Washington, saying we want our mass transit paradise. Antifa beginning to ramp up for 2020. Are they going to use that as a flashpoint here in America, just like they did down in Chile? Or will it be more like Bolivia or more like Venezuela? In any event, it's important to remember as Christians that we are supposed to be bold in these times, and we need to also remember not just about being bold, we need to understand our history, we need to understand our founding documents and why they exist. I believe the Bible means what it says. I also believe the Constitution means what it says. And the Constitution was written in an emergency, for emergencies, and was never to be eviscerated because of emergencies, changed because of emergencies, undermined because of emergencies, ignored because of emergencies. It was written for emergencies, for the exact time when people's passions are at their highest, when people are there at their most anxious, that the rights of the individual, the rights of the minority, needed to be protected. The right of free speech, the right to bear arms, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, that these need to be protected exactly at that moment when everybody's saying, oh, you know, there's all these reasons and you just don't know the practicality of the situation and you need to be prudent and we need to compromise. And they use words like pragmatism, which is really the new dualism. In other words, pragmatism is being double-minded in today's sense. Well, I believe this personally, but publicly we're going to do this. We need to return to the foundations which say no matter what's going on around us, we stand on the truth and the promises of God. We stand on that truth. Jesus Christ himself said he came into the world to testify to the truth. And we need to be able to stand on that. And so this Thanksgiving that's coming up, one of the things that our family has endeavored to do is to pray according to God's promises. So find the promises, and by the way, not just hundreds, but thousands of promises in Scripture. Find the promises in Scripture and pray according to those promises. It changes your prayer life, and you're on the offensive instead of the defensive all the time. You know, Luke 10:19, the Lord gave us the authority to tread upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the evil one. Are we praying that? You know, Lord, I just lift this situation up before you today. I stand on this promise in Luke 10:19, and I just tread upon the situation and the demons that are behind it in Jesus' name. I tread upon the evil that is behind this situation in Jesus' name. Just put it under the feet of Christ and under your feet, because if we're abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in us, it says in Ephesians clearly, you were seated with him. So those things that are under his feet are under our feet too. And are we thinking that way? That's true boldness. That's going on the offensive. I'm going to tell you, this next year is going to be unlike any other in American history. The Marxists are ramping up what they're doing. Coordinated violent and nonviolent action. The mainstream media, in large part, is covering for it. They're smearing other good people. But it's being exposed. If you look more than an inch deep, it's being exposed. And this is important because there are leaders, Republicans and Democrats, who will come out and do the politically expedient thing, like throw somebody under the bus, because they haven't looked less than an inch deep. They haven't even gone to the people that they're smearing. They just want to do the politically expedient thing. Be careful. Be wary of leaders like that. Because they'll do the same thing to you. They'll do the same thing to the Constitution, too. And that largely has got us into the place that we're in today. So this Thanksgiving that's coming up, I would just encourage you, if you haven't ever read the Bible cover to cover, read the Bible cover to cover and make some notes. Just as you come across a promise of the Lord that really stands out to you, touches you deeply, just make a note of that, what that promise was. And you can pray according to that promise. You can show it to the rest of your friends and your family and pray with them according to that promise. And pray also that the Lord would make very clear to you what your place and your purpose is in advancing His kingdom in this time. Because He does have a place and a purpose for you. And He wants you to know what it is. He's rooting for you to know what it is. If we as the body of Christ all think this way, it changes everything around us. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to change the world through each one of us. And it's not just a cliche. It's His heart. It's His heart. There's some people that get kind of depressed during the holiday season, and remember this. Jesus Christ knew you would be here in this time before the beginning of time. And His purpose and His place for you is perfect. What He wants you, He just wants you to figure out what that is. And the only way to do that is to spend time with Him, be in His presence, read the Word. Yes, and even the hard parts of Chronicles and the end of Numbers and Kings, read the Word. Be in His presence. Sit quietly and wait for Him to answer instead of trying to pray over the top of Him. Wait and answer. That's the time we live in, and I hope that encourages you, and I hope you're able to take some time with your family over the next week and a half and really embrace that and really go deeper with the Lord. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. China, India, Kashmir, and the history and the story behind it. Very interesting that the Indus Water Treaty, done between Pakistan and India, could have been used as a political weapon by India, but has not been. Now, the Pakistanis have been running effectively a proxy war with jihadis going into Kashmir, and finally India had had enough in August, removed part of its constitution so that it could occupy Kashmir, and did that. The interesting part about it is China was trying to run a road and rail network over the Himalayan mountains through that exact region to a port in Pakistan. They were doing that to bypass the Straits of Malacca, where most of its oil goes through. It was a geostrategic decision by China. And by the way, if you don't, there's a lot of folks that don't understand what Trump is doing, okay? Take a look at the materials that Trump is doing, is putting tariffs on, raising tariffs on, with China. And ask yourself this question: are those materials being used by China? Any of them being used by China to create a Blue Water Navy to project force? And how is Trump's economic policy impacting that? And speaking of China, we need to pray for those protesters in Hong Kong. Congress finally came out and is supporting them. There are protesters over there in their 20s and 30s that are writing notes home saying, I may never see you again, but this is the right thing to do. They are standing. They are putting their lives on the line against the communists and the socialists that are trying to crush Hong Kong and take away everything that even has a resemblance of freedom. Now, those same forces, those same socialist Marxist forces, are at work here in America. And the bravery of those people in Hong Kong really is the spirit that has run throughout American history. And do we still have it? Also on the international front, South America. Again, this unrest down in South America that is happening, very coordinated Marxist unrest, some techniques and tactics being tried out down there. And do not be surprised if you don't see it happen up here. Now, I've talked before on the radio show about Redneck Revolt. It's one of the armed Marxist groups in America that is associated with the John Brown Gun Club, Antifa, Social Strife Association, but particularly the John Brown Gun Club. Now, remember, the guy that attempted to firebomb the federal facility over in Western Washington was wearing a John Brown Gun Club hat in one of the pictures, and in his manifesto said he was Antifa. Well, Redneck Revolt online published that they believe in armed resistance, that they believed in what amounts to Lenin-style revolution. The complete reordering or restructuring of society. This is what they said on their own website. And then they went out and they published something called The Mini Manual of the Urban Guerrilla by Carlos Marighella. Now, Carlos Marighella was a Brazilian communist who was implicated in the kidnapping of a U.S. ambassador in 1969. So, once again, we see this tie to Latin America with the Marxist organizations here in the United States. So watch this stuff. And if you've never read the mini manual, read it and then compare it to what some of these groups are doing on the streets of Seattle and Portland, and you see where they're getting these ideas from. Now, I studied communist and Marxist doctrine for the better part of my adult life in the military and outside. And one thing that runs throughout that entire thread is they always follow their manuals. Soviet Army did that. Soviet intelligence apparatus did that. Marxist organizations do that. You just see this go. So to take a look at that, and it will really enlighten you as to what is happening. Also, I want to highlight something else. A lot of people may have forgotten something called Jonestown, the Jonestown Massacre. Now, the Jonestown Massacre happened on November 18th, 1978. And it happened in South America. Reverend Jim Jones, he was a religious cult leader and civil rights activist, and he hinted at this in 1975, what his true beliefs were. And I want to read this to you, and this comes to us from Readout News. Quote, I love socialism, or he loves socialism, and he is willing to die to bring it about. But if he did, he'd take 1,000 with him. He said that during a sermon at the People's Temple Church in San Francisco. Now, most people have never heard of Jim Jones, but you have heard, and you don't even know where he was in South America, specifically in Guyana. But most people have heard of something that came from that massacre. It's called drinking the Kool-Aid. And the point here is, the part of history that was ignored was that Jim Jones, because they try to make him into religious and then try to tie that to Christianity. What is ignored is that he was an ardent socialist, an ardent Marxist. So, November 18th, 1978, 900 people, one-third of them children, died in that massacre. And they did what he called, and this is also ignored by history, he called on his followers to do, quote, revolutionary suicide, end quote, by drinking this poison punch. It was revolutionary because it was related to socialism. So it's important to remember that this long history of craziness, and again, once again, a tie to South America through the Marxists, happened, and we shouldn't forget that history as a cautionary tale for today, because quite literally, Marxism wants the United States to commit suicide. All right. Russia. Vladimir Putin, quote, is coming to us from the Daily Mail, quote, he says that five men killed in a huge explosion in northern Russia that caused a sudden radiation spike earlier this year died trying to create a weapon that, quote, has no equal in the world. Apparently a super weapon, right? Kind of sounding like Dr. Evil saying something like that. But he told the widows of the five scientists who died in a nuclear explosion that their husbands were working on, quote, the most advanced and unmatched technical weaponry, end quote. So, apparently trying to make the best of a terrible situation, Vladimir Putin. Look, folks, I don't believe Russia is a threat. They have an economy the size of Italy. China is occupying large swaths, not formally, but through workers in Siberia. And their military equipment has always been antiquated. When I was in Bosnia, I had a chance to up close and personally see 1940s and 50s era trucks, and the only thing good about these trucks was they had a new paint job on them. Now, I had read a long while ago as I was studying the Afghan war where Russia had invaded Afghanistan, sometimes a quarter, sometimes a third of their entire fighting force would be out for either health reasons or mechanical reasons. So we need to put this into proper context here and understand it. There are some people who are going to text me or message me, oh no, you don't understand everything about Russia. Well, it's not to say that Russia doesn't have an influence in the world still through some of these Marxist and socialist organizations at the international level. And even at the national level, clearly they do. It's not to say they don't have a robust intelligence apparatus throughout the rest of the world. They do. But as an existential threat to the United States, we should be looking more at what's happening inside America's borders with the Marxists and the Islamists. Also on the international front, in Israel, the United States reversing a long-time, decades-old position on West Bank settlements and the annexation, effectively, of the Jordan Valley. Now, for those listeners that have been paying attention over the years on Patriot Radio, the annexing of the Jordan Valley would include a place called Qumran. That's all I'm going to say right now. Number two, it appears now that elections are inevitable. Looks like a unity government failed as of this morning. Now, also, and this coming to us from Debka file, Benjamin Netanyahu sharply rebutting the attorney general and his decision to indict him on charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of faith by saying that this was an attempted coup by law enforcement. Where does that sound familiar? Wow. So there's a lot of things happening in Israel. He is not stepping down. Netanyahu will continue as the leader. We're going to see if he actually does annex the Jordan Valley. And if you don't know where that is, there's a couple maps online that he briefed, but it's effectively, if you go to where the Dead Sea is and you go a little bit north, it's a sliver of land there. But it does include Qumran. All right, on the national front. So basically, here, let me sum up impeachment for you. Nobody believes Trump has committed a crime. Most of these people are using hearsay evidence. If the president, by the way, is involved in a foreign policy decision, it cannot be in a regular channel if he's involved in the court in the conversation, because he's the president and he's vested with foreign policy, at least the implementation of it. All right. Interesting, too, on this, Attorney General Barr at the Federalist Society hinted that he understands what's going on, and at this attempt by the Marxists in America to overthrow the duly elected government is just that. It's resistance in that sense. It'll be fascinating to see if he comes out with indictments here soon. I know a lot of people have been waiting for it. We've been waiting a long time. There's some hints that are out there right now that are very interesting and intriguing. All right, also on the national front, is ISIS calling for cell activation here in the United States over the holidays? This coming to us from Alerts USA. An Islamic State-linked media group has published a new poster urging followers to target gas stations, fuel tank trucks, and oil pipelines for attack. And specifically, they have been over the last month or so advocating attacks against America in retribution for the killing of al-Baghdadi. Council of American Islamic Relations, on American Islamic Relations, the largest terror financing trial in U.S. history ever successfully prosecuted, the Holy Land Foundation trial. They found CARE as an unindicted co-conspirator in that trial. Now, CARE's leader, Nihad Awad, is calling for the election of 30 members of Congress that would sympathize with CARE. Now, CARE has been associated directly with the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. In fact, there's a book that says the title of it literally is CARE is Hamas, and then talks about the Holy Land Foundation trial. So if you add the 100 members of Congress who already claim to be sympathetic to CARE, and plus another 30, you have a comfortable margin that they're trying to achieve to elect leadership in the U.S. Congress, because it only takes 110 members to elect leadership in the U.S. Congress. Keep your eye on that. Also on the national front, Big Brother. Wow, a couple of weird articles. I want to get to these really quick. A couple of really weird articles out there. The first is the U.S. military's massive facial recognition system. Documents obtained by 1-0 show how the military captures biometric data around the world. This includes images of faces, fingerprints, DNA data. 7.4 million identities in this database range from suspected terrorists in active military zones to allied soldiers training with U.S. forces. And effectively, this is part of that activity-based intelligence that I talked about here over the last couple years. It's known officially as the Automated Biometric Information System, so they can cross-reference these things and bring people up. And the question, of course, is this being used against American citizens anywhere? And that is an excellent question. Also on the national front, snuck through on a continuing resolution, the House of Representatives reauthorized the Patriot Act, arguably one of the greatest breaches of due process in history, warrantless data collection, etc., is part of it. All right, also on the national front, and I think that if you haven't heard about this, this site, go to it. It's called Technocracy News. Coming soon, meds and techniques to erase memories. Wow. That's pretty Orwellian, but there's a big article about it on there that they are trying to achieve this technology to erase memories. Wow. What do you... What more do you say about that? And this could be over different things. In cold clinical terms, the article says his patients were suffering from adjustment disorders, etc. And so this was one of the reasons to erase memories, to deliberately forget. Scary stuff, folks, in this time. All right, also on the regional front, Liberty State. Seattle is trying to overthrow the will of the state of Washington voters because everybody voted for I-976 to reduce car tabs, and this is ruining, quote, their wonderful transit system over there, end quote. So they want to uphold the will of the voters in Seattle but ignore the will of the voters in the rest of the state. And they actually have brought up, the Seattle Times has brought up that it supports a split of the state of Washington and the formation of the state of King. In other words, King County would be its own state. Hallelujah! Let's do it. So we now agree. We need to split the state. You guys can have King County. We'll have the rest. Amen. I love it. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to donate, you can go to VoteShea.com. And remember, Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean as well. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest today, Alex Newman, foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine, president of Liberty Sentinel Media. Alex, it's always great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thank you very much, Matt. I'm doing great.
So, hey, I want to talk to you today about this impeachment circus briefly. And what is your take on what you're seeing, and what are you hearing through some of your channels?
Well, I'm actually kind of surprised that they haven't broken out the clown noses and the party hats. it's like this whole thing was scripted by conservatives to make liberals and Democrats look absolutely ridiculous. It really is a clown show. And I think it speaks to the debasement of the country and just how ludicrous the whole nation has become, that something like this could even go on and people would take it seriously. All the testimony that's come out now, I think, very conclusively shows that there's nothing impeachable. I mean, did you see any crime? Well, no. My presuppositions, unbelievable fraud going on here. And, I don't think Trump is too concerned about it. I think it's going to get over to the Senate. Apparently, he's having a meeting with Mitt Romney and some of the other globalist rhino Republicans just to try to keep them in line. But it looks right now like the odds of actually being convicted are about zero. So, and I think there's a good chance this is going to backfire on the Democrats. I know there's a lot of people in the White House who think that this is really going to rile up the Republican base, the conservative base going into the election. And I suspect they're right, because really people are now seeing, I think, in many cases for the first time, how deranged and how unhinged at least certain elements of the establishment are.
It really appears that way, and it appears Americans are kind of waking up to the fact that this is not just about Donald Trump, but ultimately about all of us. They really do want to try to overthrow the duly elected government of the United States of America, and let's use the word that is legally defining that idea, and that's called sedition. And it is amazing how many people have come up to me and asked me the question, do you think there are actually going to be indictments for some of the people that are responsible for this? What do you think, and what are you hearing about that possibility?
I would like to see some indictments. In fact, I think indictments are needed going way back into the Obama administration, reaching back into FISA-gate, reaching back into the mess that happened in Libya, the mess that happened in Syria, all the way up to the highest levels. I'm talking Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, that level of people, I think, need to be held accountable. And I think unless we do hold them accountable, this kind of lawlessness and criminality is going to continue in your face. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of confidence in Attorney General Barr, and I do think that's unfortunate. I think Trump should have chosen somebody better I think the first red flag was the fact that Barr had been involved with deep state characters before, had been involved with the Bushes, and, you know, that was the first red flag. And occasionally he's saying things that make a lot of sense. The media didn't talk much about his speech where he exposed the leftists trying to tear down Western civilization, trying to uproot the religious values and moral fabric of this country. That was some really good stuff. But, it's kind of like Jeff Sessions. I don't know what's going on. I actually had a lot more hope for Jeff Sessions back when he was originally nominated because he had a reputation. He had a long track record as a pretty decent guy. You know, maybe not a perfect constitutionalist, but you can't have everything. So I was a lot more hopeful from Sessions. And we keep hearing noises, I've been hearing noises, even from people in the White House that, indictments are going to be coming, but we're now several years into that. So I hope there will be some, but I'm definitely not going to be holding my breath.
Yeah, it just seems like it can really be discouraging to a lot of people when it doesn't happen. And it can also distract us from some of the other things that are happening. And that is specifically what's happening at the local level with the socialists in America and in some of these ideas of Antifa to create chaos here in 2020. There are a lot of Americans that are very worried about this next year, that this might be one of the most violent years in recent memory, if not in the last 100 years. What are you hearing about that? And what do you predict is going to happen here coming in 2020?
Yeah, on that front, things are getting really, really nasty, Matt. I just had a source within the United Nations let me know that there was discussions about international intervention in the United States in the event of a civil war. And, that sounds absolutely crazy. And then come to find out today in the Financial Times, a globalist recommended international intervention in the United States to prevent a civil war. You have elected officials. This guy Boykins over in Chicago, I think, was the boldest. He openly went to the United Nations, to UN headquarters in New York City, and asked them to please send UN peacekeeping troops into the United States to help us deal with gun violence and things like this. Even though America has one of the lowest murder rates in the world, especially when you compare it to other countries with gun bans, like, say, Mexico or Venezuela.
Right.
So this is really dangerous talk. I think the establishment would love to see a civil war. I think they're trying to whip Americans into a frenzy to get a civil war started. And as crazy as that sounds, I mean, they're now talking about it openly, right? Financial Times, one of the most important, biggest globalist newspapers in the world, it now is running a column just today, openly talking about the alleged need for international intervention in the United States. We have people in Congress, Ilhan Omar, saying that the UN ought to take control of our border. Okay, so, this is serious stuff. And you mentioned the word sedition earlier. I think it's an entirely appropriate term for this discussion as well. When you start talking about inviting foreign militaries onto American soil under the guise of protecting us and keeping us safe, you've crossed the line. You really crossed the line. And these aren't just any foreign forces. It's not like we're inviting the Swiss militia to come help us out. When you look at the UN peace troops, they have a 50-year track record, maybe 60-year track record of an absolute horror show everywhere they go. They started in Katanga. The people of Katanga didn't want to live under Patrice Lumumba, the Soviet Union's hand-picked mass-murdering communist dictator to rule over the Congo. And so when the people of Katanga declared independence under Moise Tshombe, the U.N. sent their peace troops in to deliver peace at the barrel of a gun, bayoneted children, raped women, bombed hospitals, shot at civilian cars. Just in the last 10 years, the UN's peace troops have supposedly raped about 60,000 women and children. And that's not my number. That's a number that was calculated by former high-ranking UN officials. Peter Gallo, who used to be a criminal investigator for the OIOS, the UN Office of Internal Oversight Services, it's kind of their internal watchdog policing agency. Also, Andrew McLeod, a very high-profile attorney, and other former UN officials used the UN's own data about these reported rapes and estimated that probably 60,000 women and children have been raped. Even globalists in the United States said this. Bob Corker, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he said on the floor of the Senate that if he found out the UN was sending peace troops to the United States, he'd be on the first plane back to Tennessee to protect his wife and children from them. This is serious business, and I hate to be wearing a blue UN helmet anywhere in the United States. We've got millions of very well-armed veterans and hunters. I would not want to be walking around with one of those targets on my head. But it's getting serious. And then the fact that they're openly talking about this at this point suggests to me that something big is in the works.
That is probably the most profound thing that I have seen. I don't really pay attention to the to the Russian media outlets that are coming forward. Oh, the United States is close to civil war, because they've been doing that for a while, and they've had members of Izvestia putting out maps of what they thought the U.S. was going to break up into. But this one was very interesting to me. It was an article by in the Atlantic by Yanni Applebaum, which very specifically talks about how America ends. And the main thesis in that article was that the strife in America today is really demographic. It's, a perceived white majority is suddenly becoming a minority, and so therefore they're lashing out. Quite simplistic and, candidly, a racist approach to this, because it's not taking into account all the other people of different ethnicities that love freedom and liberty, that have come here to America and see socialism really seeping into every institution here in this country. And so I'd like to get your take on, is this real, the socialist infiltration in America? And or is it really being overblown, and is hyperbole that Marxists may try to do something violent this next year, create a flashpoint that they might be able to blame on conservatives?
Yeah, I think there's a very real risk that what we're seeing now could develop into a civil war. And I think a lot of what we're seeing from the establishment media is evidence of that. There was actually another article in The Atlantic very recently talking about a potential civil war in the United States. How to prevent a civil war, I think, was I think it might have been the cover story of The Atlantic magazine. So they're getting people ready for this, and they really are trying to build up a self-evidently fraudulent impression. You're right, they're trying to make this a racial thing, right? They're trying to basically suggest that white Americans are the only ones who value the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, the Second Amendment, free speech, religious liberty, and that these are all somehow racist institutions and ideas that oppress everyone else. And that's self-evidently ridiculous. You go to any conference about freedom, you go to any conference about liberty, any Christian conference, and what you'll find is people of every race, every ethnicity, even different religions, people coming together around some of these ideas. And so the media is trying to create a fake impression, and I think they're trying to divide and conquer Americans. The Soviet Union had a lot of experience in this. If you notice how they worked, they very rarely actually invaded a country outright and risked a military challenge. Typically, what they would do is they would go into a country with their agitators and their agents and stir up strife and divide people and try to start a civil war in that country before ultimately ending up on top and creating a communist dictatorship. I think that's their chosen strategy for the United States as well. They know that they don't have the numbers, they don't have the people, but they can use deception, they can use lies, they can use thievery and murder and assassinations and false flag attacks to really try to divide Americans against each other. And if it broke out into a shooting war, whether it started on a false flag or even based on a real incident that the media hyped and turned into a national frenzy, it would be tragic beyond belief. And unfortunately, as scary as that is, I think that is what the establishment wants to see. I think they would love to see America break up. They would love to see Americans shooting each other. They would love a pretext to have foreign forces come into the United States. And so I think Americans need to be on guard for that. And it's becoming clear now that the media is totally fraudulent. These impeachment hearings, I think, are good evidence of that. But, perception can be reality for a lot of people. So we are in a very dangerous spot right now, I think.
So I want to talk about this, too, because there used to be, we aren't going to listen to that. It's conspiracy theory. The United Nations is never going to intervene in America. That was just made to make people afraid. And now it's being openly talked about that this is possible, and not just from the sense of, troops coming into America, but also, and you wrote about this and talked about it recently, this idea of a global currency is getting more traction too, that might be a way to help stave off any unrest in America, having the global currency. So now there's this push for global currency again. So all of these things predicted in the New American Magazine 20 years ago, quite literally are being discussed and on the table now, whereas you know, 20 years ago, they were just summarily dismissed.
That's exactly right, Matt. In the new American, I think we all hate to say, I told you so often, but it really is just a constant, never-ending stream of I told you so's, because we'll say things 5 years before they actually happen, and then it's like, yeah, I told you so. And this global currency is a big one. You know, I did a cover story in the New American back in 2010 warning that the globalists were plotting this exact thing. There was already a lot of evidence out there. Now they're saying it openly. George Soros' propaganda outlet, Project Syndicate, just ran a column earlier this year by a Colombian central banker who now runs an important UN agency, arguing that it's time to get rid of the dollar as the global reserve currency and move us toward a global central bank. He even outlined the whole plan exactly like we said was going to happen in the New American, right? You were going to turn the IMF into kind of a global Federal Reserve. You were going to turn the special drawing rights into a global currency, fiat currency backed by a basket of ridiculous fiat currencies. And this was supposed to save the world from economic turmoil. And there was already indications that the elites in the United States were open to this. The Treasury Secretary back in 2010, Timothy Geithner, I call him Tim TurboTax Geithner because when he didn't pay his taxes, it was TurboTax's fault, right? but they asked him at the Council on Foreign Relations. They said, hey, the Chinese Central Bank just put out a report arguing that we ought to increase the role of the special drawing rights in the international monetary system, maybe even make it into a kind of a global reserve currency. What do you think about that? And he didn't mince words. He said, actually, we're quite open to that idea. That's huge. So that's the direction we're moving. We also just had another recent cover story in the New American just in the last few weeks or few months that I did. It's UN to America, we're the boss. And, you know, I honestly thought that during the Trump administration, this stuff was going to slow down a little bit. Because, you know, during the Obama regime, they were openly telling, hey, you have to have more gun control, you have to have controls on free speech. They were just openly, blatantly telling us to our face that we had to change our laws and change our policies. But I thought under Trump, they'd probably take it a little bit easy, maybe hope that he wouldn't notice them until they could get rid of him. But they've continued. You know, now they're telling us we can't criminalize the murder of unborn babies. They're saying the U.S. government has to intervene in Alabama and some of these other states that have tried to stop the killing of babies. They said that we can't have our border policies. We can't have our asylum policies. They say that we need to get rid of guns. They're just open in your face now, acting like they're the global government and we're just an administrative provincial unit within their new world order. And when they're out in the open like that, you know, it suggests to me that they think they're getting closer to the end game.
It's interesting, too, that we've talked about that eventually they would have to run naked, if you will, to the finish line. Jim
That's
Robinson,
right.
great friend of mine, told me that quote a long time ago. And we're quite literally seeing that right now. There's no more pretense. There's no more trying to hide it. It's just how they think that they can make that happen. The USMCA is you know, really seems like it's part of that plan to do it. In regionalized areas, create some sort of massive crisis, and yes, we need more government control. But this really is a reason we should get out of the United Nations. That, along with Antonio Guterres being the former president of the Socialist International, is there really a penchant for some countries, according to your contacts, to actually get out of the United Nations, not just the United States, but maybe Hungary and Poland and some of these other countries in Eastern Europe? Are other countries around the world talking about it, or is it just kind of us in the United States?
The movement to get out of the United Nations is definitely strongest in the United States, but we have a growing number of friends and allies around the world. In fact, there was a senator in Australia, and for some reason his name escapes me right now. It was Malcolm or something like that. Really interesting guy, and he just was railing, saying we need to dismantle the United Nations. And so this is, I think, becoming better known around the world. And, you know, certainly it's the biggest movement is in the United States, but I think around the world more and more people are waking up to this fact. But I think there's a danger here, too, because the globalists, you know, they're good at planning for contingencies, and they know that the UN has really become discredited in a lot of places. And so they've got backup plans waiting in the wings. Hey, we'll just replace the UN. Yeah, that one didn't work out. That was corrupt and run by dictators. But we're going to have a new and improved global organization. Maybe this will be a League of Democracies or something. So, you know, there is a danger that if the movement to get us out of the UN accelerates, which it must, I mean, it's critical for us to get out of the UN, that the globalists will step in with, you know, their quote-unquote solution to this. And yeah, I love the quote about the running naked to the finish line. That's where we are now. You know, these people, 2 years ago, if you had said these things, they said, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, an extremist. Now, they're like, yeah, and what's wrong with that? Right? So they're just telling us to our face now that this is where it's going. And it's a double-edged sword, right? On the one hand, it shows us that these people are getting very cocky. They think they're close to basically a mop-up operation. But on the other hand, this is our best opportunity to turn this around, right? Now, they're not even denying it anymore. We can talk to our fellow Americans and say, look, you know, those things we told you about 10 years ago, you didn't believe them. Now they're saying it to your face. Now what are you going to do about it?
What should people do about it? What should people be doing right now in this time that has not just the potential for great chaos, but also for the potential for great good? Because during chaotic times, people are looking for the answers like Jesus Christ. They're looking for the solution of freedom and liberty like our constitutional republic. What should people be doing, in your opinion, right now?
Oh, what a great question, Matt. I wish we had like 8 hours to talk about it, but I would say, you know, first things first, everybody needs to get right with God. If you're not right with God, now would be a really good time to start thinking about that, because you don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. And so you want to have, you know, that sorted out first, and other things will kind of fall into place. Next, you know, make sure your family is protected and taken care of. Make sure you've made contingency plans. Make sure that if the lights go out for a week, you're good. Make sure you're not sending your children to be indoctrinated and turned against you and turned against God and turned against America at an indoctrination center masquerading as a school. And they're everywhere, right? There's one in every community today, unfortunately. Get your kids out. Make sure they're getting a good education. Educate yourself. You know, get a subscription to the New American Magazine. That is where you'll really get the news that matters. You know, you won't read about the Kardashians, and you won't read about, you know, the fake stories that CNN is constantly covering. You'll get the real information that matters, right? The information you need to preserve and maintain your freedom. So I would say, you know, those are really good places to start, and then get involved, get active. And that's going to look different for everybody. You know, maybe you want to get involved in a political campaign. Maybe you want to get involved in an educational campaign. Maybe you have a lot of money and not a lot of time. Well, hey, put some of that money into organizations and publications and political candidates who are standing for truth, standing for liberty. Maybe you don't have any money, but you've got a lot of time. Okay, then go volunteer some time. Go, you know, help Matt Shea's reelection campaign. Go help distribute copies of the New American Magazine to people who need to know this information. Run for city council. Run for state legislature. Start educating your state legislators. I mean, there's so much work to be done, and for so long, so many members of the freedom movement have kind of just been riding in the boat. And, I don't mean to sound condescending, because I think we're all sometimes guilty of that. Maybe present company accepted, Matt. You've been all hands on deck all along. But we all need to start rowing on this boat, because we're heading straight for the waterfall. And if we don't get rowing, it's not going to end well.
It isn't going to end well at all. In the last couple minutes that we have, if you could address the millennial generation, and you know, they look at some of this stuff and they just, you know, they kind of hate everybody because the whole thing's a train wreck. And, you know, some of them just kind of give up. Their voice doesn't count. Their vote doesn't count. It's just really kind of a defeatist attitude. So in the last couple of minutes, what would you say to the millennial generation going into this fairly chaotic time, an unstable time in our world history?
Oh, another phenomenal question. And I'm always embarrassed to admit that I'm a millennial, because people just automatically assume you're an idiot. I sympathize. You know, we're all in this. It's true. And unfortunately, many of us are idiots. But in many cases, it's not even our fault. You know, our parents put us into public school systems, and we were dumbed down. We were, you know, taught how to read using quackery that literally causes reading disability. So, you know, we were dealt a really unfair hand. We got all this debt. And that's problematic. But if you look at the polling data, it shows that millennials are really, really misunderstanding the problem. You know, 70% of them now, according to a recent poll put out by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, would vote for socialist candidates. Millennials are the first generation in American history where Christians are in the minority. Okay, so you know, wait till this generation is the dominant generation. You know, the voters, the political leaders, the corporate leaders, and America is going to look very, very different than it did when we were growing up. So it's critical for the millennials to get educated, and I know, you know, a lot of them struggle to read, and it's through no fault of their own, but there are a lot of tools out there that you can use to get educated, and I think that's a good first step. You know, you need to first of all realize what you have here. You need to appreciate it. You know, I know you were told that America's evil and freedom is wrong, and you know, socialism is the way to go. But just look around you. Look at Venezuela. Look at Cuba. Look at North Korea. Look at China. Look at the Soviet Union. Look at any of these places that have tried these ideas. Recognize that you have been deceived. I was deceived. And that's a humbling experience to recognize that we have been deceived. But it's a very necessary part of growth, you know, personal. And it's also a necessary part of being able to preserve the amazing blessings that we have here in the United States. So I would tell the millennials, you know, start by questioning everything you were taught by the television and by your public school teachers, and then go from there.
Alex Newman, foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine, president of Liberty Sentinel Media. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I look forward to seeing you hopefully next month as well when I'm down there in Florida. So,
hey, that'd be phenomenal. Thank you so much for having me, Matt, and God bless.
All right. Blessings to you, too. All right, again, Thanksgiving coming up. We have a lot to be thankful for, but are we taking the field in the spiritual fight for freedom and liberty, the spiritual battlefield? Are we taking that seriously, especially in the time that we're moving toward? And if you haven't seen these articles, again, Financial Times, you can take a look at it. It's called How Foreign Intervention Can Save U.S. Democracy, again, in Financial Times. And by the way, the title of that article, based on a false premise anyway, because we're not a democracy, we're a republic. Then you have this article in The Atlantic, quote, How America Ends, end quote. If you want to take a look at those and see what these people are actually putting out there. And there were a lot of articles out in Russian media outlets last week and the week before on the American Civil War. I don't pay attention to that stuff, but this, where you have thinkers in America that are bringing this up, I think it's worth your time to read it. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And if you get the chance on Thanksgiving, pray according to God's promises. May God bless all of you truly. And may He make this generation the greatest one.